Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
And good evening, Live Paranormal listeners. Thank you for joining us here on another episode of The Eerie Voice here on Live Paranormal, the top social community of the paranormal world. My name is Chad Cornell, and I'm joined by my co-host, as usual, Mr. Doug Malinowski.
Yo, what's going on, world?
Hopefully everyone is having a great week and enjoying some decent weather. At least we had some decent weather for
two days,
and it started to snow.
Yeah, go figure that real slushiness and nasty stuff.
Only in Erie, Pennsylvania can we go from 70-degree weather.
I know.
The snow.
I know, man. One day it's t-shirts and flip-flops. The next day it's Carhartt and snow boots, man. You got to love it, man. Only in Erie.
That's a good comparison.
It is. It really is.
All right. Well, we're very happy to have a very special guest on with us this evening. We'll be joined by Mr. Grant Wilson, paranormal investigator, artist. He's a man of many, many talents. People are very familiar with him for his time on Ghost Hunters. Him and Jason pretty much were the main guys for a long time. Obviously, that's moved on and kind of in limbo as we speak right now. But we're excited to have him on. And what we're going to do real quick, so we can get this one break in, is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Grant Wilson. So stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere, y'all.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
All right, and we are back, and what we're going to go ahead and do right now is we're going to bring in our special guest for tonight, Mr. Grant Wilson. We'll bring him on the air right here. Hi, Grant, how are you doing?
Great, how are you guys?
Good.
Awesome.
Thank you for taking the time to come on with us. We very much appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Oh, definitely.
How are things going for you?
Things are very busy right now. I got two kids in college, one in high school, so I'm downsizing to a smaller house so the two kids don't move back in, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm busy with that, and I just started my YouTube channel, so I'm all over the place with that, and life is good. How about you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. I saw your episode of your trip to North Carolina or South Carolina? Where is that ship at? I can't remember now. And
North Carolina.
But it's funny because Doug and I were reminiscing that it's been a while now, probably 10 plus years probably, that
at least,
we actually met you. It was the first time actually you and Grant went to and did a presentation You and Jason
me
went
and myself.
To.
I was there too.
You and yourself and I, when you and Jason went to Louisville, New York, you guys were doing a presentation there. And
yes.
I always remembered that. It was interesting, like, to see the amount of crowd you guys had. And I kept thinking to myself, man, these two, you know, are going to bring so many eyes to the paranormal field. You guys were like rock stars there, and pretty much paranormal rock stars. Sorry, Dustin Perry, if you're listening. But I always remember that. I was like, it was just mind-boggling to me. That's, I mean, that's ultimately what you guys look like for, I mean, all your fans. I mean, did it make you feel a little weird to be looked at by so many people in that manner?
I tell you what, when you start doing the paranormal, when I started doing the paranormal, you know, it definitely wasn't cool. In fact, it was decidedly uncool. And, you know, we would occasionally got to the point where we would do lectures at libraries, and, you know, you'd be lucky if you got 12 people there. And to have that turn into over 3,000 people in places that you're talking to, it's great. It's great to see that people are embracing it and they're not afraid to talk about it, but it's terrifying, and you never, you know, you never get used to it. And even though millions of people watched our show, we didn't see them watching our show. We just had a cameraman there. So when you're out there actually talking to the fans, it's a great experience, because the fans are so smart and so nice and so giving. It's just, I mean, I couldn't be happier.
Oh, definitely. All right, so Grant, do you feel like you are a pioneer in the field of ghost hunting because of the boom that happened in the field once Ghost Hunters came out?
I don't know that I feel like a pioneer. I mean, there have been people who've definitely broken more ground than I have, but I think I have a different kind of mentality about it all. That people are starting to figure out. And I think, you know, ghost hunters start to show that mentality of, you know, we're not out to find ghosts, we're out to find the truth. And I feel like together, myself, Jay, the whole TAPS team, and all of the millions of fans of Ghost Hunters who supported us and got the paranormal doors to open to the rest of the world, you know, we all did it together. So I don't sit here and pat myself on the back, but I think I think if we didn't have that support, the field just wouldn't be where it is now, and it's just on fire.
Oh, definitely, it really is. I mean, everywhere you look, there's a new show, but with new methods. You know, everyone's coming out and they're trying new stuff, and it's really great to see just how many doors have opened.
Mm-hmm. The evolution.
The evolution, yes.
Right, yeah, and the part of it's good and it's bad. It's good that we can talk about it now, and that there are inventors inventing equipment, and, you know, scientists willing to risk their reputation. I mean, just the general feel around the whole globe is more of a sense of open-mindedness. But on the flip side, you've got a bunch of people getting together with their friends and going into people's homes and not really knowing what they're doing, or think they know what they're doing by watching, you know, 43 minutes of Ghost Hunters once a week, which there's so much more you need to know before you step into a stranger's house. And that part scares me a little bit.
Yeah, you don't know what kind of people you're walking into. We've had a few friends that, luckily, there's a police officer on the team, and they went to do a preliminary interview before they brought the whole team down. They kept separate, and they went there, and all they could ask about was where the equipment was, where this was, and ultimately what they were trying to do was rob them of their equipment and steal from them. But luckily, they were smart enough to separate the team and do that preliminary walkthrough with them and kind of got the idea of what was going down. So it's a scary situation a lot of times.
Yeah, because you never know.
You get to research your people more, you have to research the paranormal sometimes.
Yes.
Well, step one, invest in the money to do a background check for everybody you go into. Like, there's just basic stuff that you don't see happen on the show. And that terrified us all for a while. Like, this is great that everyone's so excited, but, oh, my gosh, like, they don't know. They could be stepping into a bear trap, and they don't even know it. And that's something that's bothered me for a while. We did some stuff, like we did some classes to try to help people know what to expect and kind of scare them, either make them or break them kind of thing. And, And those work, but it was just very laborious to do.
Sure. Now, when you were full-time on the show, how hard was it for you to actually have a normal life when you're home?
It was tough. I mean, the show, it was 2 weeks to film one episode, and, you know, 26 episodes a year, so do the math there. You weren't home much, and you know, you make the most of, thank goodness, the technology to keep in touch with the kids and all that. And you know, on the weekends, sometimes we didn't even have the weekends to come home. But, you know, you'd come home and be super dad. And it was tough. But, I mean, my family, I don't know. My wife and I, we've always been kind of straight up with our kids. And, you know, we don't put up with any crap, but we have a lot of fun and we're very close to our kids. And you know, even though I was away filming a lot, you know, we managed to just get closer and closer. And I'm just grateful for that.
See, that's the pleasure of having a good foundation, you know, because sometimes stuff like this could pull a family apart. But when you got a good core, brings everyone
mm-hmm.
more together, you know.
Absolutely.
You appreciate more.
Yeah, totally.
On your time.
Totally. And definitely.
That's always the...
I felt so bad for people like, you know, like Chris Williams or Amy Bruni, who were, you know, single girls trying to find a guy while they're famous on TV, you know. I went to hours and hours and hours of helping them sort through that. How do I trust this guy? How do I know that he really loves me for me? And I was so glad that I was married and had kids and everything before this ever happened.
See, maybe you should create like a ghost hunting Tinder.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, my gosh, that would be crazy. No.
Yeah.
You can design it with your gaming company.
Right?
Thanks. Okay, yeah, I'll get right on that.
We will trademark it and let you know.
Yeah. Trademark it.
Oh, all right, God. So Grant, what is the weirdest thing a fan has ever done for you?
Okay, fortunately, the fan base was way more down to earth and reasonable than I expected. I was a little nervous about that at first, but yeah, they do some weird stuff. You know, this. It's really weird when you're at an event or something and someone hands you like a Tupperware thing of homemade cookies. Like the message is there and we're grateful for it, but you know, we're not going to eat them, you know, like we just, you got to play it safe. But I mean, there's been times when I've been, you know, standing at the urinal taking care of business and someone will come in, stick their hand out, like they want to shake my hand and be like, I love your show. And, you know, you're like, I'm a little busy here, so that's rough. But the weirdest thing, I think, was Jay and I were doing a lecture at a library, and this husband and wife came up, and they were so excited. They could barely talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what's up, what's up? And the husband's like, oh, man, wait till you see this. This is the coolest thing ever. And the lady puts her leg up and pulls up her pant leg to her knee, and there on her leg is my face tattooed on her leg.
Oh.
Now, yeah, instantly I was just like, I didn't know what to say. Because you don't ask anyone to ever make that commitment. Oh, my gosh. And the husband's like, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And all I could say was, that's not right. I felt like an idiot.
No. That's
but I said, is that your first? Yeah, I said, is that your first tattoo? Is that your only tattoo? And she's like, yeah. And I mean, if she had other like influential people tattooed all over her body, like she didn't even have her husband's face tattooed on her. It was my mug on her leg there. It was crazy. So, she just wanted me to sign the leg so she could finish the tattoo. So I did. That's a weird thing. I never quite know how to react to that.
Yeah. She's shaving your face every morning.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know.
You never know. You might be looking real grizzly right now.
I'll have to revisit her in about 50 years and see what it looks like then.
Right? Well, hopefully by then she'll have like full like sleeve, you know, just the paranormal. You know?
Oh, man.
Hopefully. You know, hopefully it's not all just me. That'd be weird.
That might be a chance. You might have to call Ben Hansen for someone to help you out with her. You know, guy background there. But the one interesting thing I always found funny, in a way, is watching the progression of not you in the show, but of Jay. He seemed like he went from being, put it bluntly, more of a hard ass to being now a softy. Is that true?
The very beginning of the show, the first few seasons were really tough because, you know, we were trying to make a full-time job work in the show and trying to get used to being on the road. And, the production company had one view of how they wanted us to be and how they wanted the show to be. And we weren't going to change what we did other than what we had to do, you know. And so there was a lot of butting heads, and not in an angry way, just in a differing viewpoints and the expectations. And so everyone was kind of on edge. And I think you could see that in the first couple seasons. But, as we went on, our kids got older and, you know, we realized very clearly how much of their life we were missing. And, you know, Jay became a grandfather on the show, and like that just softens you up, you know? And honestly, it was exhausting. That's why I left. It was very tiring. And so I think as it wears you down, you just kind of become a little soft.
Sure. Yeah, I've always watched that progression. I was like, man, he must be getting soft in his old age. No, I'm kidding. Jay, you're listening. I'm not calling you old.
Coming from the old
soft
guy over
mentally,
here.
Mentally,
you know?
Not physically. He's still built.
Anyways, go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry. Cut you off.
All right. So, Grant, what do you feel has been your biggest contribution in helping in the progression of paranormal investigating?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm, you know, a lot of people tell me that I brought a lot of heart to it. And I was very reasonable and had a lot of common sense. And to me, the paranormal is very simple. It all kind of makes sense to me. And so I kind of see the matrix. And I think, you know, the more people get a chance to see that viewpoint, it's simple for them too. And that's kind of the fight I'm fighting is, this is not what Hollywood is teaching you it is. And this is not this huge crazy cloud of unknowable stuff. Like, we can wrap our head around this stuff. What it actually is, no one can really say, but we can wrap around our head around it and deal with these things.
Sure.
All right. Now I know you guys started out doing like private investigations at residences, correct?
Yes.
All right. So what investigation made you decide or gave you a feeling like I've landed in where I need to be? You know, like what clients did you help out where you walked out just amazed? Like, thank God I'm doing this.
Well, I didn't just kind of wake up one day and say, I want to be a paranormal investigator. I had some odd things happen to me when I was 15 that happened every day for years. And that led me to try to find my own answers. And in that process of talking to people about it, I realized that there are a lot of people that are terrified to live in their own homes. And so I shared my mentality and my thoughts with people, and it really calmed them down. And So I would go into people's homes to offer comfort in exchange for exposure to the paranormal to try to answer my questions and theirs too. And so it was a gradual thing. The first one for me, not the first one, but the real one that made me go, okay, I got to do this, was it was a possession case that I was able to handle. And it wasn't a case so much as, you know, I was helping a friend of a friend. Mm-hmm. And they were in a tough situation. And to watch those people completely in despair and disarray turn around, not only the haunting around, but turn their entire life around to keep it away, was overwhelming. And, you know, and to march, I had to kind of fight with their religious leader, because he was ostracizing them because they said that they had something evil in their house and he didn't buy it. And so I had to kind of fight with him and say, you know, he was giving me crap for being in their house, helping them. And I had to be like, you know, well, you're up there talking about Jesus. I mean, what would Jesus do? Would he leave people to be terrified in their own home? And so I turned around a family and changed this religious leader's viewpoint on it all. And that was, that's when I was like, okay, there's a real problem here. These people really have nowhere else to turn. It's a long answer. Sorry.
That's great. I mean, now, with that being said, how do you feel currently now, the state of the paranormal field? How do you feel the progression is in the status of the field now? Do you feel like it's in a good place, or do you think there's still a lot more
growing
that could really happen to make it even better than it currently is?
So it's in a good place, but I feel like it's kind of drifting left of center. It's more heading towards a ghost hunter's world and not a paranormal investigator's world, meaning that a lot of the attention and focus is going into people are focusing on getting together with their friends or whatever and just going to like a publicly accessible place and trying to just have an experience, which exhausts these entities, you know. And there's nothing wrong with trying to have an experience. It's fine. But people think that's what paranormal investigation is, and it's not. Paranormal investigation is going into a home or a business where people are terrified or they think there's a haunting going on there, and you're not going looking for ghosts per se, as you're just looking for the truth. So you're helping people overcome paranormal experiences, not just looking for evidence or having your own experience. Neither one is better than the other. Neither one is wrong. They're just two very different things. And the field is going very much towards that ghost hunter one. You know, people doing it just for the kicks. And that the whole field is leaning that way. And it's starting, people are starting to confuse that with paranormal investigation. And that's scary to me. And this is why I've started my YouTube channel, is to start to get this out there, to have a voice out there again and say, come on, guys, bring it back a little bit. You know what I mean? And it's not as doom and gloom as it's supposed to be. Yeah.
All right. So 20 years ago, did you think you would be in the position you are now with all the amazing opportunities you have had in the field?
Absolutely not. When we, like I said, when I got into the paranormal, it was very quiet. You did it very quietly and you told very few people about it. And I honestly, I've been drawing ever since I could hold a pencil. I taught myself to play piano and guitar when I was 14, you know, and I had books written in my mind and I created these worlds and fantasy, you know, like high fantasy, like Lord of the Rings style books. And I thought I would be, if anything, I would be well known for that, paranormal. And I'm glad it turned out this way, though. Even though we turned down doing the show 5 times, we finally said, okay, let's do 10 episodes and then be done. And here we are now. But But I'm glad it turned out that way because I feel like I'm making much more of a difference in the world, and I'm bettering a lot of people's lives because of the support everyone gave the show. That gave me a nice platform to help people very easily. And the music is still there, and the art is there, and the games and all that, it's all there. I never thought I'd be in this position, but I'm really glad I am.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, there's so many different shows out there right now, and it seems like a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them really focus on more of the dark entities, and they're always saying things are demonic, and they're really focused on that. Do you think maybe that might scare people who might have situations thinking they don't want to come out and talk about it to try and resolve the issue because they're afraid of being crucified, bad choice of words, about things in their home because they might be scared thinking, oh, man, I have a demon in my house. Because, you know, that's not always the case, but it's really just amped up in a lot of shows now. Everyone jumps to that conclusion now all the time.
Yeah, so there are a few things behind that. I see these shows and I see what they call a demon and they're wrong. Like I've had many, many, many encounters. In fact, most of the stuff I've dealt with has been inhuman or demonic or elemental, that type of stuff, because people don't know how to handle them. So I get all that stuff. People come to me. But this is a problem. Either the people don't have the experience or the knowledge to truly identify if it's demonic or not. And I like to use the term negative because the term negative doesn't empower the negative entity itself. You know, if you say demon, what do you picture, you know? But anyway, the other thing is that it's inexperience and it's the networks leaning on or the production companies leaning on these people to make it more extreme and more dramatic and more of a wow factor, which we never catered to on Ghost Hunters. In fact, it was in our contract that if they asked us to do that, we could fire whoever we wanted. So they never did that. It's bad because a lot of times there'll be a mental situation, a legitimate mental problem with a client, and telling them that it's a demon that's bothering them is the worst thing you can do medically for them. And I'm watching people do this on TV. So there's enough in the world telling people that anything paranormal is a demon. We don't need TV shows to tell us that, especially when they're wrong. And, you know, I feel that if people knew, if these people really knew what demonic haunting was, they wouldn't air it on TV. Because these things only come about because the clients, there's something wrong with the client's immediate family or circle of friends. There's something bad going on that draws these things in. They don't attack healthy people. They attack the weak and the sick. And exposing that to the whole world will make it very hard for the family to heal. So you don't just walk down the street and get jumped by a demon. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Absolutely. And people who are interested in finding out the differences of different types of hauntings, obviously you can go to Grant's YouTube show or channel. He has different episodes where he actually explains the different types of hauntings. So definitely check that out if you have more interest in finding out the details of a haunt. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I have the Poltergeist coming out next week, and then after that is Inhuman, where I'll talk all about this type of stuff. So thank you.
Oh, definitely. All right, so Grant. So what do you like doing in your spare time?
I play a lot of World of Warcraft with my wife and friends all over the globe. For the Horde, I play Horde. But I write my music. I read a lot. Love going to movies with my wife, but I'm making board games. I'm drawing art. Just a lot of creative stuff. You know, I just like to be with my family and do creative stuff. I do like to travel. Going to Italy in a couple months with my brother. I just do a little bit of everything. I just love to create, and I love to make people feel happy. So I do that through music and board games and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot of people, you know, don't get this opportunity to talk more personal with you. What would you feel, I guess I've had people ask me to ask you, like, what is your biggest fear or your weirdest fear?
Well, I don't have any of these kind of irrational fears. I'm not afraid of spiders, and I'm not afraid of heights and things like that. My fears are more real. Like I do a lot with my hands, you know, play piano, draw, you know, I do a lot. And so if something were to happen to my hands, that would really cramp my style. I got normal fears. Like I'm afraid of losing my kids and stuff like that. I'm not afraid of anything that normal people aren't afraid of, you know? But some of the homeowners I run into, they scare me. Yikes. You know, hillbillies, people like who live in the hills and that
right.
creepy redneck, like,
right.
that freaks me out a little bit. Like we'll go to a haunted house on Halloween. Yeah. The zombies don't bother me. The clowns, they're a little weird. But then we go through that section, and it's just like the hills have eyes, and I'm all set. That bothers me. I guess that
yes.
is a little weird.
Yes, we one of our first ever investigations
for a client,
we went to an abandoned movie theater. All right, it was a little old school one. It was just one theater and everything.
And
we went down there.
In the back of it was apartments, and
yeah,
his people in the apartments were having weird things happen, weird activities. So we were mainly focused in the theater.
Yeah.
And
so we're investigating, and then the neighbors come down, and then they start talking to us about like the people that are living in the vents and all this stuff. And this is bad. I was in the back with the video cameras or with our equipment. I had a metal bar I'm holding just in case they start swinging on Chad. I can run out. But yeah, it was weird. It was like
this is why we love having a police officer on our team.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right. It's the living people that are really, really weird, man. Like I've dealt with some occult activity quite a bit over the years, and that's just twisted people. I mean, we've had like high-ranking officials and people in the town that are in on it, and that's just weird. They're just controlling the whole town, and people are weird. I don't know, ghosts or not.
What another viewer was asking us? What was it? Here, look here. What would be one superpower you would like to have?
This is great. One superpower. One of the things I always thought was cool as a kid would be to be able to manipulate gravity, because there's so much you could do with that. I mean, you could fly, you could lift anything, you could change gravity. So if someone was coming at me in a fight, I could make them fall up or whatever, you know, and do whatever I wanted. I don't know. It's kind of a weird one, but ghost powers would be cool. Be able to walk through walls and disappear and haunt people. Danny Phantom.
Now, do you get a lot of, I mean, obviously you do a lot of different events, and special thanks again to Lindsay at Center Stage Events.
Yes.
Just a little hint there. You do a lot of traveling, go to a lot of different events. Do you have a lot of just, do people bring you a lot of unique, weird items to, like, autograph and sign, hang on to? Or is it mostly just your, like, the people bought random, like, voodoo dolls to you ever?
Yeah, people bring some weird stuff. You know, I've signed a lot of casts, which isn't weird. But the weirdest thing I've ever had someone ask me to sign, besides that tattoo, was their baby. They wanted me to sign their baby.
Wow, that's
pretty cool. And of course I said
not
no.
Everybody gets
weird, like
said,
right?
Dustin, I'm sorry. I say, Dustin, I'm sorry, but I don't think you're the paranormal rock star.
No, no, not until you start
autographing
babies and tattoos and yeah.
Oh, he might have the hair for it, but. Oh,
I've signed, like, it's
now,
weird, like, people want me to sign their purses and, like, their phones, and it's just whatever. It's really weird. But, hey, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you like to do.
Whatever floats your boat.
Now, obviously, you keep very busy with your rather dashing games and your music and your art and everything. Now, do you get the same kind of satisfaction with that as you do assisting your clients that are troubled, or is there really no difference?
Well, it's a different satisfaction. You know, it's drawing and writing music and designing games, they were there before the paranormal ever entered or forced itself into my life. So it's a nostalgia, and it relaxes me. And what's nice is that when I share the creations I made, they're kind of working for me. Like, there are people who could be listening to my CDs right now or playing my board games right now, and it could be bringing a family together, or it could be helping someone cope with the death of a loved one, and I don't even know what's going on. So it's beautiful in that way. Yeah. And people email me some of this stuff, and it's incredible what these things I'm creating are doing without me even knowing it.
All right, I know some people who have traveled Gen Con and have met you there. Is there a big difference in people at Gen Con versus other paranormal conventions, and do they still see you as that guy from Ghost Hunters?
So it's interesting. I love, you know, when I'm at Gen Con, you know, showing people my games and everything, because – people who know me from Ghost Hunters but don't know that I make board games will do that old double take as they walk by, and they'll walk by three or four times,
yeah,
like, who is this? And then they'll look at my name tag and go, okay, I know, I thought about who it was. But then what's cool is the other side, people will check out the games because they know me, but the other side is when someone who has no idea who I am walks by and their head out snaps because they look at the artwork in the game, which I made. And they're like, wow, what is this? I got to play this, and, you know, and then you say, oh, hey, I'm the artist. And they go, wow, that's really good. And they want me to sign their game just for the art alone. No idea that I've ever been on TV. So it's an interesting bag. Yeah.
Now, I know you have a bunch of different events coming up. You'll be heading to the Historic Roads Hotel with Chad Lindbergh. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
That's a very outgoing
guy. No, I'm going to have to drink a lot of B12 or something. No, I know Chad. I've known Chad for a while, and this will be great because not only is it, you know, he awesome, but it's also an awesome location. It's a small location, and it's a very intimate event. Not many people will be there. There's just not room for it. And it's all going to support my charity of choice, the Lost Limbs Foundation, that helps buy prosthetics for kids, you know. For me, I always say the first thing we read is, you know, see Jane run, and these kids can't do that. So let's give them that, you know. So it's going to be fantastic, and my wife will be there with me, and it's going to be fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I think you have a bunch of, I mean, you're obviously you're very busy with so many things, and you have all these great events that are coming up. But I forgot, I was supposed to tell you something. I was talking with Chris Fleming earlier, and he said that it was very fitting that you were on Eerie Voice, because for some reason he thinks you have a very eerie voice. I don't know if he's calling you a creeper or not.
Creeper.
What? Chris Fleming.
I don't know. He said you have a very eerie voice.
Okay. I don't know. You be the judge. I can't change it. It's mine.
You might have to take it up with him. I don't know.
So, Grant, out of all the At all of the locations you have had the honor of going to or privilege of going to, what is the one location that completely blew your mind, where you walked out like, yes?
You on the show or ever?
Ever.
There are too many, honestly, to list here, but I mean, there were cases where I remember having to sit down on the stairs with Jay and wait for all the furniture to stop moving so we could get a drink of water out of the kitchen. You know, I've done a lot of the occult cases, and the negative cases I've done have been, they're always a wild ride. You know, we've had I alluded to before, we had a whole town in on this cult, and they tried to keep us from leaving the town and stuff like that. But there's one case I like to talk about that it just says so much. It was a case in New York, and this woman's family had lived in this house for three generations, and she was having activity, and we were doing EVP down in the basement, and we kept getting this name called Beatrice, and we asked her who Beatrice was, and she didn't know. So she called her mom, who didn't live there anymore, and mom didn't know. So the mom suggested she call her grandmother in the home, so she did. And she calls her grandmother and says, "Hey, Grandma, who's Beatrice?" And Grandma says, "Where'd you hear that name?" And and so she goes, she said, you know, the guys are here investigating. And then her grandmother said, "Well, maybe it's time." And then she told us to go up on the second floor in this closet, and there was a patched up hole in the wall. She's like, "Open that up and you'll have your answers." Okay. So we punched a hole in the wall, and there was a leather-bound journal in there that belonged to her grandfather, and he was involved in organized crime. And he kept all his misdeeds in this book. And as we're looking through this book, we see the name Beatrice pop up. And this was his mistress. And he got her pregnant, and she was going to squeal, was the term he used. And so he had his goons throw her in a pit in the basement and cement it over. So, of course, we instantly run down to the basement and look. And every time we caught that name Beatrice, it was over this patch in the ground. So at this point, we called the police. We weren't there when the police opened it up, but we solved a 60-year-old missing person case with an EVP. That's the stuff that it's all about, you know what I mean? And it's really cool because we didn't have – it was just an audio recorder. It wasn't even digital. Mm-hmm. It was an analog audio recorder. And with that one piece of equipment, look at what we were able to do with it. And, you know, you don't need to have R2-D2 there in front of you beeping and booping the whole time, you know. You don't need tons of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to put things
That's
together.
Amazing. That's
yeah,
amazing.
So, I mean, there's just too many to answer the question, but there's one example. Of stuff that's just like, holy cow, you know, incredible.
Yeah.
And the activity stopped after that.
Yeah. Well, because their story was told, you know, that chapter finally got, that chapter of the book got to be closed.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes
that's all it needs.
I would like to think that's all they need. Yeah.
Knowledge.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So, a few Ghost Hunters Halloween specials you have investigated with, like CM Punk and other pro wrestlers. Are you a fan of wrestling, and did you have a clue who these people ever were before they came on?
That's a great question. I mean, when I was growing up, it was, you know, Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper. I wasn't a big wrestling fan.
Right.
Not because I didn't like it. I just didn't, that there were other things that, that I was doing, you know, I played a lot of soccer and I was outside a lot and, you know, doing Boy Scout. I just didn't catch it. But you know, every time I did, I thought it was fun, but I gotta be honest, the first time, the first Halloween, special we did and CM Punk was on it, I was like, why is there a wrestler here? No one, we were all so confused. Like, what does this have to do with anything? And I wasn't quite sure he wanted to be there either. So we were all kind of like scratching our head, like, what the frick is going on here? And, but you know, we talked and we got to know him and he was, you know, he was a fun, cool guy, but he was just as confused as we were. And we just decided, you know what, let's just have as much fun with it. And then we learned later that, you know, Bonnie Hammer was, you know, obviously over the wrestling, and she was the president of Sci-Fi, and so it was cross-promotion. And every time, we're like, is it going to be a wrestler here this year? And they're like, no. And then sure enough, would show up, and there would be a trailer with some wrestler on it. But it was cool because, not because they were wrestlers, but because they were these big, tough dudes that were genuinely interested in this. And, you know, off camera, you know, during the commercial breaks and stuff, they would open up to us and they would either say, you know, look, I'm terrified to be here, and we would calm them down, or they would say, you know, tell us about their paranormal experiences that they experienced in life. And they're very emotional sometimes. And, you know, we'd have to tell the producers, like, they'd be like, coming to you in 5, because they'd have this thing in our ear, so we knew what was going on. And, you know, so we're not picking our nose or something when they come to film us. And we, you know, we would have to tell them, hey, guys, give us another 5 minutes. You got to go to someone else because, you know, the rest of us here crying. And, you know, so it was great. It was great. And I made, a lot of good friends that way with them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one that sticks out in my mind was I think you guys did one at, I think it was Waverly Hills. And I think, what was his name?
Elijah Burke,
Elijah Burke, yeah.
He pretty much almost ran out of that building, I thought.
Poked on one the third right now, man, in TNA. He's still wrestles.
Yeah, I thought he was going to run out of that building. He seemed so scared.
It was, the weirdest thing was when we did one with The Miz. Because, you know, we were all there together a few days before the show ever was filmed, you know, kind of walking through and getting everything set up. And, you know, I hung out with this guy. He was great, nice guy. And we were laughing and we bonded real, real good. And he got his wallet chain got stuck on the seat in the ferry and we had to figure it out, you know, awesome. And then as soon as the cameras turned on, he turned into put on a different persona, was a completely different person. And I had no idea who he was before that or what his wrestling persona was. I didn't know. He was just this really cool guy. And then all of a sudden the cameras kick on and he goes 180 and he's crazy. And we had to actually have him removed. But afterwards I was like, what the heck was that? He's like, well, that's the character people are expecting. I'm like, but you're so much cooler than that. It was so weird. Yeah.
Well, for him, I mean, he started on MTV.
Yeah,
he started out on The Real World.
Real World, that's right.
Yeah, man. I used to watch it. I actually applied for that show.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got turned down, man.
Thank God for that.
No. It would have been fun.
Now, what was interesting, I thought, is how difficult really was it for you guys, not production and all that stuff, for you guys to be actually investigating live in front of just millions of people? Because I, like, you know, you guys did a live investigation from the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's
great,
a show. Wonderful location. Like, how
awesome.
Was that something that's like in the back of your head, like, holy crap, we have millions of people watching us right now. Like, we better be on our P's and Q's.
Yeah.
Honestly, to me, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything different. Production wise, it's a much different animal. You know, you've got a earpiece in your ear talking to you the whole time, and you know, you'll be doing an investigation. Normally we're there for hours and hours, but you'll be there, you know, for a half hour, and then all of a sudden you get the word, hey, we're going to commercial, you got to be in this place in you know, 30 seconds. And then you're like, holy crap, and you're running, and it's crazy. But for me, I didn't I didn't do anything differently. I wasn't thinking about millions of fans. I was just thinking about the fact that, you know, my wife's out trick-or-treating with my kids and I'm not, you know, and you know, I hope that they get back in time to see it. You know, I was just trying to think of focus on the investigation and just do the best I could. Yeah.
Sure. Now, obviously you have many different, upcoming, different events, but I wanted to make sure, you know, give you an opportunity to talk about like, best contact methods for you, like best quality websites,
home address,
your home address,
in case anybody else needs,
more tattoo signs. Yeah. Oh, but like obviously your gaming information, all that kind of stuff. I wanted to give you at least a little platform to kind of put all that stuff out before we come closer to the end of the show here.
Well, you can go to my website, which is grantswilson.com. Grant Wilson wouldn't give it up, but grantswilson.com. And from there, you can get to everything. My YouTube channel is a big thing right now. I mean, it's me just kind of doing a brain dump and on all things paranormal and things that I love and stuff. And, you know, people are eating it up, so that's good. But that's, on YouTube, it's The Grant Wilson. The best way, if you want me to look at some evidence or you're having a problem, is to get to me through my Facebook page, which is, oh man, I don't even know my own Facebook page. Is hang on, it's hold please.
I just
said
your friend request on it.
It's Real Grant Wilson.
Many fakes out there.
There is, man. That's bad when you got to put the real in front of your, you know?
Yeah, and you know it's me. I mean, on Twitter and everything, just search, you'll find me, and I've got the blue check mark all over the place, so it's really me. And obviously on YouTube, it's me because I'm in the videos. Like, can't go wrong.
And obviously you have the Lost Limbs Foundation Ghost Hunt coming up here at the Historic Roads Hotel. Over in Indiana, coming up here in the March, I believe it's 23rd, 24th, and then they can also see it at Salem Con, I think that's coming up in April. So you're definitely out there for some people to see. So they can check out your website, obviously, YouTube show. They can go check out centerstageevents.com for other information and other clients of Lindsay as well. But I just, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on and talk to us, and hopefully we can get you back on at our future time frame and talk some more paranormal and more gaming, because we didn't really dive in the game as much as I wanted to. We kind of got off to a beaten path here.
Well, I'd be happy to, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Hopefully. All right.
All right. Have a good evening, Grant. Thank you.
Have a great one.
You too, guys. Be safe.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to Eerie Voice. That was our special Grant. Our special guest, Grant Wilson.
On our kickoff to our
fourth season. Yes.
That is awesome.
That really was a great, great fun conversation, and we're very thankful to have him on again, hopefully in the near future. Other than that, we'll see you guys in our 2 weeks for another brand new show of the Eerie Voice.
Have a great one, y'all. Stay out of trouble. Keep it.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. LiveParanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.